American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town. There's a cancer called crime in our cities and an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Put an end to the gangs and the drugs and the streets and the back.
Welcome back, my friends, to hour number four. Robbie Noel sitting in for the recovering John Stadtmuller. Talking about that continent called Africa. As the leaders gather this week, try and figure out how to save Africa from itself. The problem is, they won't solve the problem because they cannot be honest about the real problems in Africa. You see, in Africa, there are no Platos, there are no Shakespeares, there are no Beethovens, there's no Louis Pasteurs that one might easily associate your new political masters with. There are no heroes, icons, or personalities of great achievement that one can trust or look up to. There's only a black hole of desperate humanity that sucks at all efforts to establish a normal life. One lives with a touch of panic in the knowledge that if something goes wrong, you're done for, because there is no resource and no recourse to logic, justice, or understanding of your problems. You are on your own, and the only way out is to flee or bribe your way out. It's got a dirty feel to it, and it's very traumatic. It requires the destruction of the dominant, sophisticated culture of those who aspire to belong to the first world, the so-called privileged few, for the expedient empowerment of those who by historic and statistical certainty represent the tragic backwardness of the third world. One can no longer dream of belonging to the A-team or having a first-class leader and coach, but must find some self-righteous solace in permanent relegation to the third division. Come on, chaps, it's up to us to make it work, rah, 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 and all that jazz. And for those who have had to live with this all their lives, donor fatigue sets in years ago. The whole pioneering philosophy of pulling oneself up by one's own bootstraps is replaced by the pathetic expectation that someone, the government, or the international community must feed, clothe, educate, nurse, and provide every man in the multitude and his dog. This is what is called Ubuntu. This is expecting the breaking of the bread and the multiplication of the fishes on a truly grand scale. The idea that an individual is in charge of his own destiny and must be held accountable simply does not exist, so crime, corruption, murder, mayhem, begging and starvation all become part of the African experience. And there are many examples of this, and it is now too late to explain the distribution of guns and the modern means of dispensing death in the hands of primitive people, because it is a crime against humanity. Such gifts are far more deadly than any other blight on humanity that a beautiful princess recently lost brought to the attention of the world. We'll have the rest of the story of Africa when we return.
Are you one of the millions who have trouble waking up every morning? Hit the snooze a few too many times? Need that morning cup of coffee to get you started? Why not put a little spice in your morning with Gano Cafe? Gano Cafe, a healthy coffee, gives you energy and vigor, increases your focus and mental clarity. Gano Cafe helps the body heal itself, strengthen the immune system, and waste elimination for detoxification. If you're a coffee drinker, you won't believe the wonderful taste of this great coffee. Ganoderma, commonly known as the reishi mushroom, has been utilized in Chinese medicine for over 2,000 years. Also known as the longevity herb, miraculous king of herbs, it's more powerful than ginseng and has much lower caffeine and acid. To get your cup of great-tasting coffee, go to healthycoffeeonline.com or call 1-888-841-6055. That's 1-888-841-6055.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
You bathe, right? And those dishes and laundry, you wash them, right? If you don't worry. Otherwise, you might want to listen. Your family is exposed to harsh chemicals daily. Chlorides, ethanol, sulfates. They're used in paint thinner, solvents, fuel additives. You'll find those chemical cocktails and more in everyday detergents and shampoo. Does that bother you? It bothers the folks at Calben Pure Soaps. For 58 years, they've produced all-natural, earth-friendly soaps and household cleaners. No animal testing, no chemicals, no dye, no antibacterials. Just safe, natural plant extracts like extra virgin cocoa butter oils and vegetable protein oils. I don't use anything but triple concentrated Calben Pure Soaps. What are you waiting for? Call them 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Nothing to lose but the chemicals. 1-800-340-7091 or visit CalbenPureSoap.com.
Ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
Many of those gathered in Scotland this week for the G8 meeting, not necessarily them, but their minions, their associates, were the ones who supplied millions of AK-47 assault rifles in the hands of those so-called garden boys in Africa, some no more than 10 years old. And they will forever follow innocent victims wherever they may go. In a land where law and order no longer exists, the pale horse will claim hundreds of thousands of innocents on anyone no less mindless than the indiscriminate blast of a landmine. This was, of course, all part of the evolution of the great new Western morality in our story talks about the point of interface between the haves and the have-nots. The guns were simply part of the overall transfer of power, even if they were the single greatest factor that has made massive brutality inevitable. Guns now support the new democracy of Africa and place the entire continent beyond recovery, all based on a Wild West franchise where the man with the gun gets the vote. Ask any of the Americans that were in Somalia. They know all about this phenomena. After one very brief visit, ostensibly to keep peace, and one short look at the gruesome spectacle of an American's dead son being dragged through the streets by a gleeful gang of youths, Americans were very sensible to get the hell out of there and never return. Elsewhere, one of the great developments for the benefit of mankind in the last years of the 20th century is that globalization and technology could force world leaders to become accountable for their actions. The standard mantra of thou shalt toe the line or ye shall be bombed was heard. Technology is a new god. It's clean, superior, and has unquestionable holiness about it. It opens up a whole new world. In the restless pursuit for quality over quantity, technology can now select genetic material to clone 100 Einsteins from one small test tube. Western Europeans are so clever now that Christ is just a guy who died 2,000 years ago. The new God will be asked to punish Saddam Hussein's cult for wanting to gas people and give them anthrax. It'll be used against any Christian or Orthodox movement that inflames old feelings of racially based guilt. In Kosovo, a local group of drug smugglers and terrorists, the KLA, got the entire resources of the wealthy North Atlantic Treaty Organization, illegally and unconstitutionally killing, bombing, and destroying a poor little sovereign country called Serbia as if it were a virtual reality computer game. All done with self-righteous zeal because Christians and Muslims there have hated each other since before the murderous Crusades. The West must follow this doctrine because if they don't get forced integration to work there in the wilderness, it could blow up in their own countries and towns at any moment. All over the world, leaders are being made to answer to this magnificently perverted Western morality. The guy with the computer chip calls it too. Everywhere, that is, except where Aboriginal people are involved, then the guilt kicks in and things become confused. In Uganda, and if Uganda attacks the Congo or Nigeria attacks Sierra Leone, then all bets are off. But if there is trouble in East Timor when the demon there is easily identified and the bombs are ready to fly, Western peacekeepers can make a heroic entrance. When an aging dictator like General Pinochet travels to London for medical treatment, he is arrested to stand trial while a certain Mr. Mugabe is free to visit from his strife-torn country on a Christmas shopping spree. One might be puzzled at what curious value systems we had to grow up with. The world recoiled in abject horror at the confrontation that took place at Tiananmen Square in Beijing in June of 1989. It reacts angrily to any suggestion of ethnic cleansing. Such incidents are recognized as evil and are never far from the collective conscience. Yet, in any given month, more people lose their lives or property and more gross human rights violations are committed in Africa than during those incidents in China and Yugoslavia. But everyone just looks on in dumb fascination. The colonial hangover, the Bleeding Hearts Brigade, and the victim guilt neurosis have combined to paralyze response to human suffering on that continent. Could this be part of why the West abandoned Africa in the first place? Is it because what is going on there is too illogical, chaotic, uncivilized for modern man with his high technology to understand and deal with? Or are they protecting someone? And if so, who are they protecting? The African people or their leaders? The winds of change of the early 1960s demanded that the continent be handed over to the indigenous people. It did not recognize that the presence of the white man had upset the natural order of things. That if he does not belong there, he should never have been allowed to take root there or to interfere with the ancient ways. That Africa was a continent that might have been best left alone. But how does that explain that for 5,000 years there wasn't even any leaders in the culture of Africa that espouse the Western concept of leadership? Shaka Zulu and other warlords were the exception rather than the rule. Mostly, the small populations lived peacefully, subsistence, pastoral lives in remote scattered villages as hunter-gatherers. They answered only to the immediate families. Suddenly, the white man arrives with these missionaries and proceeds to convert the locals to Christianity, to impose strange laws and to introduce alien concepts based on rights and ethics. Above all, they bring with them that astounding idea of taxation. The indigenous people are expected to abandon their Stone Age culture, wherein it was never a good idea to be different or to rise above one's fellow man, lest you rouse some primitive emotion like envy or greed, and to provide leaders of international stature. And herein lies the irreconcilable differences between Europeans and Africans. Where European leaders are expected to be agents for change, to employ the latest technology and make things better for the total population, who reserve the right to elect or reject them depending on how well they obey the letter of the law, where they are expected to be competent and possess vision with great ethical and humanitarian purposes, traditional African leaders are almost the opposite. They are keepers of the faith, guardians against change in the traditional ways, upholders of the philosophy of Ubuntu. They are expected to interpret the laws, firstly according to the collective will of the immediate family, then of the village, and finally of the tribe. All other considerations are secondary. Any association with people outside the tribe, let alone white people, is purely mercenary. These leaders have no personal leadership role precisely because they represent traditional conformity. One small difference between the few white families that called themselves Rhodesians and the French, Belgium, and Portuguese settlers may have been that they wanted to stay in Africa and make it work. They were prepared to fight against overwhelming odds for the privilege. That was, in and of itself, a curiosity. What type of person would want to be associated with a dark continent filled with failure and despair? Who were those people who thought they could buck the system and hold back the march of progress? On the evening of the 14th of April, 1997, British television interviewed the still fit and crusty looking ex-leader of those people of Rhodesia. His name was Ian Douglas-Smith, and whether one supported him or not, he is more the embodiment of the Rhodesian psyche and better qualified to give some insight into that curiosity than any other man alive today. As late as the 30th of July 1974, 9 years after unilateral independence, his party, the Rhodesian Front, still won all the white A roll seats in Parliament. The interviewer was astounded to learn that Ian Smith, after all those years, was not repentant for what he had done in Rhodesia. He felt obliged to inquire whether there were no regrets and whether Mr. Smith ever lost any sleep over it. The answers to those questions were as predictable as they had been 20 years before. Ian Smith maintains to this day that what the Rhodesians did was try to promote and maintain civilized standards through the process of political evolution. They tried to do to that land where only 60 years before there was no written language, no school or medicine, and no such thing as a vote. How can you give someone the vote when they don't know what they are voting for, he wanted to know. How could you be so certain of yourself in the face of all that adverse world opinion, asked the interviewer. Didn't anybody tell you that you were wrong? His answer was simple in the face of this modern world of intrigue and double talk. And we'll have that for you when we return.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Introducing the world's best air purifier, the Aeronizer. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews, as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on the surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. Call 877-605-9200 or visit the website at www.aeronair.us.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
Hello, this is Christine with BringEmHome.org. Are you a parent disinclined to seeing your sons and daughters used as mortar bait for the New World Order? With no end in sight to the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, along with the looming possibility of an escalation of conflict into Iran and Syria, we need to send a definitive message to the warmongering politicians. Bring our troops home now. We have Bring 'Em Home magnetic ribbons, which are available in any quantity. Like the upside-down flag, these ribbons are inverted to symbolize a state of distress. Place these ribbons on your cars and help us wake up the sleeping public. Don't wait until the military draft is implemented. Don't wait until it's too late. Get your ribbons now. Your Bring 'Em Home ribbons can be purchased at rbnlive.com or at bringemhome.org or call 877-605-9200.
It's hard to find in the morning papers. It's hard to find in the magazine. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on TV screen, but it's on the radio.
Welcome back, my friends. Robbie Noel sitting in for the recovering John Stadtmuller and talking about an interview many years ago with Ian Smith, Prime Minister of Rhodesia. He was speaking to a reporter from the BBC who couldn't figure out Ian Smith not being apologetic, weeping before the cameras. So when he asked him, how could you have been so certain of yourself in the face of all the adverse world opinion? Didn't anybody ever tell you that you were wrong? Ian Smith's reply, no, because we were right. He had a little frown on his brow as if the question asked was simplistic. According to Ian Smith, Rhodesians had stood for evolutionary progress. They were the model for Africa that was praised and encouraged by their colonial masters, the British and other world leaders, including an American Secretary of State. Even the Conservative Party had supported that stand up until the day Ian Smith declared unilateral independence. The interviewer says, but Declaring unilateral independence, wasn't that an act of rebellion, an illegal act against the crown? Not so, retorted Smith. We never believed that the Queen was involved. We always believed that the argument was a matter of British party politics. The Rhodesians were simply insisting that Britain stick to the agreement made at the Victoria Falls at the breakup of the Federation. There were many eminent constitutional lawyers that will testify to the fact that unilateral independence was not a legal act. But what about your statement that there should not be black majority rule for 1,000 years, asked the interviewer. We would always be opposed to majority rule based on any color, came the reply. You must understand that African democracy is won through the barrel of a gun, not through the ballot box. Terrorists like Mugabe and Nkomo can tell the people, if you vote, we will kill you, answered Ian Smith. But UDI delayed the march of history for 15 years. Think of those 20,000 innocent people that were killed and the millions of refugees that were driven out of the country, accused the interviewer. Interviewer obviously trying to occupy the moral high ground. Nobody was driven out of the country. Ian Smith corrected the statement. They all stayed, but it was a war. We had a constitution, not of our own making, but given to us by the British, and anybody who broke the law, black or white, had to answer for his actions. We killed terrorists, was the quiet but unremitting reply. We were fighting against one-party communist dictatorship, and history has proved us right. After the elections, Mugabe recruited the North Koreans to massacre 30,000 of his Matabele opposition. It was black killing black, said Ian Smith, trying to emphasize what he believed to be an incredible fact. The result of the election was in conflict with the Lancaster House Agreement. Lord Soane should have disqualified the election, but after consulting with the Foreign Office, he decided not to, said Ian Smith. There followed a brief story about how Harold Wilson had explained to Mr. Smith that it was easy to agree in private on principles, but they had to satisfy the Organization of African Unity, even if, as Mr. Smith pointed out, the organization was controlled by one-party communist dictators. At this point, Ian Smith insisted that history had proved him right, that his conscience was clear and what the Rhodesians had done was correct and honest, and he challenged the interviewer to argue the point. The discussion then concentrated on the reality of politics and on Lord Carrington's proposition that the world of sticking to principle and insisting on what was right, the world that Ian Smith and the Rhodesians lived in, no longer existed. It was convenient to condemn the Rhodesians, to betray them, and to give the Organization of African Unity what it wanted. For Ian Smith to talk about playing the game according to the rules of fair play, honesty, and decency, or insisting that, contrary to misconception, the Rhodesians never practiced South African-style apartheid, seemed pointless after that, out of step with the modern world. He tried to point out that there were, in fact, no restrictions on political activity, and nobody's rights were denied, save for their own ability to exercise them. In the new morality, these things sounded empty and insignificant. Watching the interview, his former countrymen knew with sadness that the integrity of Ian Douglas Smith was beyond question, that this was his weakness in a world of the new political morality. If he had played Harold Wilson's game and accepted deceit as a political tool, if he had accepted independence on any terms and then changed the rules later, as he had been taught by the British and as practiced in Africa as a matter of routine, then Rhodesia would still be alive today. But he could not. We'll be back.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio.
only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Are you one of the millions who have trouble waking up every morning? Hit the snooze a few too many times? Need that morning cup of coffee to get you started? Why not put a little spice in your morning with Gano Cafe? Gano Cafe, a healthy coffee, gives you energy and vigor, increases your focus and mental clarity. Gano Cafe helps the body heal itself, strengthen the immune system, and waste elimination for detoxification. If you're a coffee drinker, you won't believe the wonderful taste of this great coffee. Ganoderma, commonly known as the reishi mushroom, has been utilized in Chinese medicine for over 2,000 years. Also known as the longevity herb, miraculous king of herbs, it's more powerful than ginseng and has much lower caffeine and acid. To get your cup of great-tasting coffee, go to healthycoffeeonline.com or call 1-888-841-6055. That's 1-888-841-6055.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses this same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Eliminate the cause. Don't just treat the symptoms. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call Alternative Technologies toll-free 866-885-6625. 866-885-6625. One more time, that's 866-885-6625.
Pain medication can't heal the cause of your pain, but what if the pain is so great as to make it unbearable without it? Listen to the results of one 44-year-old man.
My name is John Frey. I have fibromyalgia and was taking 12 to 14 Ultram tablets a day just to try to stay pain-free. I also had headaches, which would incapacitate me. I also had severe allergies and was dealing with arthritis, which set in after two compression fractures. After just 3 weeks on Cocoon GH, I noticed my pain was gone, and I no longer needed to take the Ultram anymore. My headaches disappeared, and my allergies are virtually gone. My energy level has increased, and I feel better today than I have in 15 years. My graying hair has also started to darken, and a bald spot on my head has started to grow hair again. My wife got on Cocoon GH, and after only 8 days, a lower back pain that she had suffered with for 14 years has gone away permanently. She no longer takes Celebrex. Thanks for such a wonderful product.
Satisfaction guaranteed. Call 888-988-6833. That's 888-988-6833. 988-6833.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
The final question put to Ian Smith by the interviewer was, he asked, how did it feel to hand over power to Robert Mugabe, a black man whom Ian Smith had imprisoned? Ian Smith was obliged to point out that he had no objection to working with black politicians and had in fact handed power to other blacks long before Robert Mugabe, and that Robert Mugabe had been a convicted terrorist. Terrorists burned and petrol bombed their own people in grass huts, and they did other terrible things to them. He reaffirmed his conviction that the Rhodesians had been fighting for freedom and a responsible government, but that communism, by whatever name one chooses to call it, and the pursuit of power, was now entrenched in his country. In conclusion, Ian Smith told the interviewer that he now has many black visitors who come to ask him for the benefit of his experience, black people with hungry children. There had been no such hunger in Rhodesia, yet now the politicians all are multimillionaires, and the children are still starving. This story is about those Rhodesians, dinosaurs of the modern political age, almost Victorian in their simplistic beliefs and standards. Unlike the Australians, and even more particular, the American pioneers who went forth into the interior of their respective continents, multiplied and progressed with spectacular success under conditions of little or no competition from the indigenous peoples. The progress of the pioneers of Africa were overwhelmed by the population growth of the indigenous people. By 1960, development came to a dramatic halt in Africa, then went into sharp decline as the French, the Belgians, Portuguese, and British evacuated the land. At the present rate of withdrawal, one can expect that most Europeans will have disappeared off the face of Africa within the next generation or two. For the developed world, the passing of Rhodesia was of little consequence, a removal of a nuisance. For the Rhodesians, it was a great loss. But they were a few resourceful people and made new lives for themselves elsewhere. For the comrades, it was a bonanza. Like maggots, they swarm over the carcass of the state, gorging themselves. For they know that, if they are lucky, like Mobutu Sese Seko of Zaire, this banquet will last a lifetime. After that, who cares? Who can do anything about it? It is only the ordinary African people whose true voices will never be allowed to be heard outside the family circle. Perhaps not even there. The witch doctors are adequately motivated to keep control. It is only they that may have noticed that during the time of Smith, there were management and administrative systems in place in Africa that worked. That during that time, there was rapid economic growth and development. And that efficient distribution methods provided for their welfare and their needs. These now have all disappeared. But their span of attention is short, and their problems more pressing. They must get through this day. Over all of this drama, there hangs one huge question. We know that the great British war hero, Field Marshal Viscount Montgomery, warned his government in 1947 that the African is a complete savage and is quite incapable of developing the country himself, and that time will show which one of us is right. Well, do you think that Monty has been proved right or wrong, Mr. Interviewer? If there's anything at all about these past 40 glorious years in Africa that would make an intelligent, civilized man like yourself form an opinion, that the very same people who now occupy the moral high ground abandon Africa to avoid responsibility for the suffering that was to come. And that concludes the story of the lost peoples of Rhodesia. It also hopefully helps explain the enormous task that has been put before the G8 meeting in Scotland this week. Will they be able to find a solution to Africa's problems? Of course they won't. Because in order to find the answers and solutions to Africa's problems, one has to be realistic and honest about the events and the cultures and the peoples of Africa. It is not for some white guys in Scotland to dictate the inevitable outcome in order to make them feel good so they don't have images of starving black children on their television screens every night. There will be continuing poverty and strife in Africa. It is now a fight between the haves and the have-nots. The only difference is the haves are no longer there. There's a fight between people of indigenous tribal beliefs and cultures who are at odds with each other and have been since the beginning of time and will be until the end of time. What we are witnessing taking place in Scotland will be just another in the long series of Western guilt for a nation that they abandoned many years ago, much to the detriment of those who were born and raised there, and those of us who still hold an affection and a passion towards that country that used to be called Rhodesia. It is sad to watch these erstwhile politicians dabble around, but it also helps explain many other of the instances in which we find ourselves with today, dealing with the very same things, but on larger scales. When you look at the philosophies of those who have engineered the new America, such as the Council on Foreign Relations, who seem to think that by eliminating borders between Mexico and Canada, we will create this utopia of a North American continent where the powers that be, these people who sit in their ivory towers, think that somehow you can integrate people from different cultures and different philosophies and make them mix in this melting pot. It is a nice socialist dream to think that that may exist at some point in time, but it's delusional thinking. Because we all have our prejudices, even though we'll deny that we have our prejudices. We have our prejudices because of who we are as a people. We have our culture. We have our heritage. That is who we are, and that's who we always will be. As I've often said, irrespective of what citizenship I do now claim, I will always be a Rhodesian. It is the land where I was born. It is what makes me who I am. I am a Rhodesian. Period. End of story. Just like you as an American, irrespective if you decide to flee the shores of the United States and seek citizenship of another country, deep down, you cannot deny your roots. It is who you are as a person. You are an American. This is the land where you were born. It is who you are as a person. It is your identity. You will never lose that, no matter what citizenship you may claim. And this is what the powers that be just don't seem to understand in any way, shape, or form. You see, the philosophy in Africa was majority rule. And that was simply based on, who knows, the mechanisms developed by former Supreme Court Justice Earl Warren, who instituted the one man, one vote philosophy. Wherever one man, one vote has been implemented, it has been an absolute disaster. You cannot point to a single country that's adopted this philosophy that is living in harmony with each other. Except the fact that people are different, we have our different desires and wants, and we have a difference in who we want to associate ourselves with. But in this world of political correctness, we are denied those rights in order to make us touchy-feely like all the rest of the people out there. And unfortunately, when you go down this road where they try to blur the lines between who you are as a people, ultimately, and I have to say this, the results are always going to turn out exactly the same. As they say, the first sign of insanity is repeating the same mistakes over and over again, expecting somehow a different result at the end. But can you quite honestly say to yourself that if we try the same tactics that didn't work in Africa, and we apply them to the U.S., that at some point in time we're going to expect a different result? It'll never happen, my friends. And so hopefully the story of Zimbabwe will help clarify things, because there was a lot of misinformation about Zimbabwe for many years. It was, without question, a story, and I've said this many times before, where the media spin and the acceptance of people on the situation in Zimbabwe was to the point where I used to deny where I was from. People used to ask me where you were from, after learning my lesson of running up against spiteful liberals who accused me of being a racist and a nasty person who wanted to kill and impoverish the indigenous people, rather than deal with that, I just simply said I was from Australia. And considering that Australia doesn't have the same history as Southern Africa did, I got away with it. For Americans, unfortunately, it's going to be a different kettle of fish, unless, of course, you deny that you're American and say that you're Canadian. But that's all you have. I had three countries to choose from. I was more fortunate. And the idiocy of the South African government, I draw very strong parallels to it, to the current regime in Washington, D.C., in the so-called war on terrorism. This war on terrorism, it's a tactic. A lot of people don't accept that. They think terrorism has a face. Well, the White House has given it a face. It's Osama bin Laden. That is the face of terrorism. But terrorism isn't a person. It's not a country. It's not a movement. It's a political tactic used by the have-nots in order to plunder from the haves. The war on terrorism is an endless war. It's like the war on poverty or the war on solving Africa's dilemma. It's never going to be solved, and that, more than likely, one could argue, is the basis for it. It is the best of both worlds. How phony is a war on terrorism? Well, you got Robert Mugabe that supports the war on terrorism. You have many third world dictators declaring a war on terrorism. Because what does a war on terrorism actually do in a country? Well, it enables the ruling elites to classify anybody who disagrees with their policies or agendas or tries to fight against it, be defined as a terrorist. There's a couple of stories I have posted on eaglesup.com today that not only deals with the insanity of the Glen Eagles conference and the money down the rat hole in Africa. But there's a story by Greg Szymanski that talks about Ray McGovern. Ray McGovern is a CIA senior analyst, retired now. And he warns that the U.S. is headed down a fascist road. And until you lived in fascism, until you've been up close and personal with it, smelt it, touched it, felt it, you will not see it coming. It is stealthy in its entire makeup. But there is no question America is headed on the road to fascism. You can see it evolve in many facets. And now I'm hearing voices in my head. We have a call online. I've got no idea who it is. Oh, it is? Alex. How are you doing, brother?
Hey, Robbie. I didn't mean to barge in. I was just going to ask him during the break to see if I could pop in. And I wanted to invite you on my little radio show sometime this week to talk about the G8. And I tell you, you always amaze me. I've been listening for 30 minutes in rapt attention going around doing my errands. And I was thinking, when is he going to get to the fact that everything he's saying is true? Obviously, you live there. I didn't, but I studied it. Everything you're saying is documented. I know that. I've interviewed a lot of, you know, other white Africans, black Africans. It's just the truth. But when is he going to explain that it's a war that's not meant to be won, and that this has all been done by design, whether it's white leaders, black leaders, anybody, even if it's a socialist, if they are for the people, they get removed from power immediately, and that the globalists want that place in shambles. Then you said it's an English war, which I guess is teaching me something. I know that's one of their favorite tactics. I didn't know they'd written the book on it. But where it's like the war on drugs, war on terror, they're winning these wars. It's meant to widen them, give them wider control, and so they can also then use their henchmen to control whatever that black market is. And you're right, third world dictators everywhere are praising the war on terror. And I was just calling in to tell folks that, you know, I've done my homework, and I'm telling you what Robin Noel is saying is true. And it's just so despicable to see what they've done to Africa, driving anybody with wealth, anybody with the technologies of civilization out of the area. But that basically is it, Robbie. But I wanted to invite you on for an hour sometime this week on my show so you could go over what you just covered.
Sure, no problem. Drop me an email, robbie@rbnlive.com.
Well, I'll do that. But if you don't mind, I'll have the producer or folks over there give me your number, and I'll just call you when the show ends, if that's okay.
All right. You got it. Look forward to it, Alex. Thanks so much.
All right, buddy.
I appreciate that.
Have a good one. See you.
Thanks. Look, it's no question. The war on terror is something that, and if you don't think they didn't study the Southern African situation and understood exactly what a war on terror actually was, you're kidding yourself. They had the perfect, look, it was the perfect model. Africa was a perfect model to see whether political correctness could actually destroy the greatest nation on the face of the earth. We'll be back. Wrap it up when we return.
Introducing the world's best air purifier, the Aeronizer. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews, as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on the surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. Call 877-605-9200 or visit the website at www.aeronair.us.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Introducing the world's best air purifier, the Aeronizer. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews, as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on the surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. Call 877-605-9200 or visit the website at www.aeronair.us.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Introducing the world's best air purifier. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does in cleaning and purifying the air in your home. Pet, cooking, cigarette, or even cigar smoke is no problem for this air purifier. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews, as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. There are no moving parts to break, no plates to clean, and no filters to replace. Call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Or visit the website now, www.aranair.us. That's www.aranair.us. Again, www.aranair.us.
Thank you.
Welcome back, my friends. I want to leave you today with something I wrote. I wrote this 5 years ago, trying to explain the third world. I said the third world is different. Different peoples, different pasts, different cultures. Yet Westerners continue to mistake the psychology of the third world and its people. Sierra Leone and Zimbabwe are perfect examples of those mistakes. Sierra Leone is in perpetual civil war, and Zimbabwe, once thriving, stable Rhodesia, is looting the very people who feed the country. Yet Westerners do not admit that the same kind of savagery could come to America when enough immigrants of the right type assert themselves. The fact is, Americans are sitting ducks for third world exploitation of the Western conscience of compassion. Those in the West who forced South Africa to surrender to the ANC and its leaders did not consider Africa to be dangerous, corrupt, and the savage place it is now. Those Western politicians now have similar problems on their own doorsteps. The demand for power and treasure from the non-Western people inside the realm. It is already too late for South Africa, but not for America, if enough people strengthen their spine and take on the race terrorists, the armies of the political correct, and the most dangerous of all, the craven politicians who believe compassionate conservatism will buy them a few more votes, a few more days of peace. White South Africans, you should remember, have been in that part of Africa for the same amount of time. Whites have inhabited North America, yet ultimately South Africans voted for their own suicide. And we are not so very different from you. We lost our country through skillful propaganda, pressure from abroad, unrelenting charges of oppression and racism, and the shrewd assessment of African tyrants that the white man has many Achilles heels, the most significant of which are his compassion, his belief in the equality of man, and his love your neighbor philosophy, none of which are part of the third world's history. The mainline churches played a role in the demise of Western influence throughout Africa. Today's tyrants were yesterday's mission school protégés. Many dictators in Africa were men of the cloth. They knew their clerical collars would deflect criticism and obfuscate their real aims, which had nothing whatever to do with the brotherhood of man. Other tyrants, like the infamous Idi Amin, were trained and schooled by whites themselves at Oxford, Cambridge, and Harvard, and after receiving the best from the West, they unleashed a resentful bloodlust against their benefactors. Yes, my friends, they care not for your high-minded ideals of Jefferson and Washington or your Constitution. The third world wants your possessions, your power, and your status. And they already know that they have allies among you. The human rights advocates, the skillful lawyers, the left-wing politicians who will fight for them and not for you. And they will exploit your compassion and your Christian charity and your goodwill. They have studied you, Mr. and Mrs. America. They know your weaknesses well. They know what to do. Question is, do you? Till tomorrow, my friends. See you. Bye.
Everyone agrees our children are the future leaders of this great nation. How can we expect the founding values of our great republic to continue with future generations when these same values are being phased out of the government-run school system? There is a solution. The Little Red Schoolhouse Project, a community-based school system founded by Dr. Jake Wade to provide a biblical and constitutionally based education for our children. Help us prepare the next generation in our fight for freedom. Ask us how you can help by writing to Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenny Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616, or by calling 512-398-4833. Once again, that is Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenny Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616. Support your local Little Red Schoolhouse. Call 512-398-4833 and ask how you can help ensure no student is turned away.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.